Robert Turley, and you're watching Feminine Wealth TV. Look, I'm really excited today to have my guest Heather Porter with me to start the first ever episode of Feminine Wealth TV. Now, if you haven't heard of Heather, then you need to, because Heather is the co-founder of an amazing business called Autopilot Your Business, where she does everything digital marketing and to make your business really, really pop. So welcome, Heather, to the show.
Thank you. I can't believe I'm here for the very first one. This is really exciting. Yes. So thanks for having me.
It's fantastic. And you know, I chose Heather for today's show because, I mean, we've known each other now for just, I think about a year.
Yeah, about a year.
We met because we were both speaking at an event last year. Yeah. And you know when you meet somebody for the first time and you just really hit it off and you don't really know why, but then as you get to know that person over time and their story unfolds and you're just, your friendship blossoms. And for me, that's the way it's been with Heather. So she has been an absolute inspiration to me and is, in fact, not just a friend, but a mentor of mine. And she's also a member of my Energize Wealth Strategy Dream Team, so you can get to work with Heather too. So, Heather, throughout your career, and I know these stories now, I mean, you've just had a career that can only be described as a rock star career. You know, you've worked for some of the biggest names in motivational speaking.
Yes.
Tony Robbins, Chris Howard, to name a few. Yeah. And you've also run a few of your own companies.
Yes.
So look, tell me, you know, how did it all begin?
My goodness, how did it all begin? Look, in university, when I was studying actually business, international business in San Diego, I started my own business on the side because I've just always had this drive and passion to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I was doing this while I was in school, and I ran art, fashion, and music events in San Diego. And what's funny is after I graduated from school, I actually started in IT for Tony Robbins.
So
I
was... Wow.
Yeah, really strange, isn't it? So I was in IT,
yeah,
for Tony Robbins, and then I was running one of my big events for, you know, I had a fashion parade and bands and musicians and the whole thing going on, and some of the production team from Tony showed up at my event.
Oh, like, wow.
Heather, what are you doing here? What are you doing
here? Did you freak out completely?
I'm thinking, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
I looked up to these women, hugely.
Yeah.
You know, I was the little out-of-school IT girl, and these, you know, amazing, glamorous production women for Tony Robbins. And there's a couple of them that showed up. And then they pulled me aside. They said, what are you doing here? And I said, this is my own event. This is what I do on the side. And they said, girl, you are clearly in the wrong department.
Oh, wow.
So they coached me over to events for Tony.
Oh, isn't that funny? You know what I love about that story is the fact that you were using a job, you're working in an IT job. I mean,
yes.
Obviously that wasn't your passion.
No, not really.
No. So you took, but at the same time, you used an income from a job to do what is your passion and to fuel your own business.
Yeah.
And then that led you to actually get the dream that you really wanted, which was to be in events and do promotions with one of the biggest names in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so obsessed. I would do my day job.
Yeah.
And I'd come home and I would work until like 10 o'clock at night, sometimes midnight, you know,
yeah,
doing my other business and trying to grow that up. You know, do whatever it took at that time to make it
happen. Well, you know, I mean, and what I really want, you know, the listeners to really take from this is the fact that sometimes in the early stages, you know, to get your dream moving, you actually do have to do that. You might have to do two jobs, but if you want something enough, you know, I talk about money being your fuel for your passion.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get the money from? You must do a job that maybe isn't what you exactly want to do, but don't give up on your dream.
One thing I say to newer clients that come to me is, you know, make sure that you have money to fund what you're going to do with your online business.
Oh, yes.
The internet is like this huge, exciting opportunity, and it works if you follow structure and know what you're doing, but it takes time to build something online.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that think, oh, I can get rich quick overnight.
Oh, I know. There's so many of those programs out there, and they don't realize you need money to actually fuel that.
Exactly. So do what it takes. Work your job and start to do your online business on the side if that makes sense for you, if you actually want to go that way.
Yeah, and you know, this is what I will say as well. You know, you need to have the money that you earn, make sure that you're using that money that actually to fuel your own vision. So if your vision is that you want to run your own business, then if you're still in a day job in the corporate world, for example, don't give up just yet, but make sure that you're using that money to actually fund your own dreams.
I love that.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm fascinated to hear the years with Tony Robbins. I mean, obviously, you know, the Wealth Mastery Tour, you were on those events.
Yes.
How exciting was it to work for him, you know?
Look, Tony is an incredibly intense man. So
yeah.
What you see on stage is what he's like in his business.
Oh,
he's
wow.
an emotional being. So whatever he's feeling is also what it's going to be in the boardroom,
oh,
so to speak.
That can be good or bad.
Yeah, we always used to say, I was one of the only girls in the production team that hadn't cried yet. You know, all the other women were saying, oh, you haven't cried yet because it's emotional.
He's trying to break you, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, this customer.
So,
yeah.
Look, amazing man. I would never trade the experience. It taught me events, like top-notch
marketing
events,
yeah.
And building tribes and managing teams and being under the pressure cooker. You can't get much more pressurized than working
yeah.
for Tony at a big event as well.
And you traveled a lot, obviously,
yeah.
with that event. I mean, he goes all over the world with that event.
All over the world. That's how I was introduced to Australia, because I lived in San Diego,
oh,
and
nice.
Where I was working for his corporate
yeah.
office, and was introduced to Australia, coming over here to run a couple of events.
Mm.
And Wealth Mastery is his event where he brings in wealth speakers.
Oh, fantastic.
So
yeah.
I learned a great deal as well, start to understand how to protect your wealth and,
yeah.
and you know, stock losses and concepts around the fact that just throwing money out there is dangerous.
Absolutely.
There's so many tools already that so many people don't know about to protect.
You know, even in the financial industry, I'll be totally open with you, even in the financial industry today, there are advisors out there that don't even know the tools
yeah.
and the tricks of the trade that are there to protect your money.
Not surprised.
You know, and really, people are losing money left, right, and center when they don't necessarily have to, and they're taking risks that are not necessarily there.
Power of
yeah.
an expert, though. That's why it's
yeah.
so important to find somebody that has a history, track record of doing what they teach.
Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
Is why I'm here with you, because you're one of the very few people that I know, being in the speaking industry for so long, that really walks their talk and practices
yeah.
what they preach. I mean, you know what you're teaching.
I don't
do
think I could talk about it if I didn't.
No.
If I didn't, you know, I think there has to be a bit of integrity about what you're doing, and you know, the years I've spent in the industry. That's why I'm on this circuit trying to expose the truth, especially for women, especially
yeah.
for women, especially
yeah.
for women. So, what would you say was the key thing, the takeaway for you from mm-hmm. those Wealth Mastery tours? Was it risk management, or do you think it's more about, like, not just about the making of the money, but the investing and protecting of the money?
Risk management, and also probably the fact that when you get emotional, you don't want to be around money. Because,
yes,
your emotions are, and unfortunately, I lost a big chunk of money doing exactly that. I got so excited about this opportunity.
Oh, yeah, I've done that too. Don't worry. That's, you know.
Oh, invest thousands
yeah.
of dollars in it without
yeah.
doing due diligence and actually stepping away from my excitement and looking at it from a rational mind.
Mm.
And I think that was the biggest thing I learned was use the tools, but also really look at your emotions when you're around money.
Do you think that's why, I mean, people struggle, you know, wealth mastery. Everybody the world over seems to struggle with this, you know.
Yes.
There's very few people who achieve wealth in terms
yes.
of financial wealth anyway. I mean, do you think it's the emotional drivers of the people you met on that tour? How did they sort of feel about it? Or why can nobody master wealth?
Because I think it's people's beliefs around money.
Yes.
And the fact that they don't deserve it, it's dirty, or that they can't have it for whatever reason. They think my next door neighbor can be rich, or my sister, or my father, or my friend, but not me. And there's some sort of underlying issue there. And a big part of that event was actually mindset.
Yeah.
The entire MC's job was to actually weave in mindset, because you will never be able to do or implement what you learn should you not really believe in your heart that you're worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the reasons, I suppose, that I'm bringing quite a lot of mindset work into my work now. It's
yes.
just not about the tools and strategies and tactics and knowledge. It's actually about mindset is key. It's really, really important.
It is. And you know what? It's interesting being around Tony and other personal development speakers. I have to admit, I'm kind of like, I almost get sick in my mouth a little bit. Oh God, not another mindset training.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's probably because I've been around it so much, but without it, you have no foundation to build on. You've
yeah.
got to master your mindset before taking anything.
Before taking any more steps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So would you think, I mean, the power of having mentors around you, is that one of the steps that you...
That's where your mindset comes in. Because
yeah.
you're your own worst blind spot. I mean,
so you can't see your own mistakes. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You've got to have that mentor there that is in the space that you want to excel at, to look at what's going on in your head. And they've got to be good at also seeing that, seeing when you're doing self-talk is bad or you're doubting yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all know that, you know, building wealth, it doesn't automatically lead to fulfillment. I mean, I always say, you know, money's job, its only responsibility is to fuel your journey to the summit of the mountain that you choose.
Good.
It's not its job to change the view. So you have to choose wisely. So have you seen entrepreneurs, you know, make wealth and then, you know, go the wrong path, make lots of money, but actually reach no fulfillment?
Yes, a lot of people, actually. Some of the people that I've worked with, not only from my past event life, but what I'm doing now, is I actually know some of them that have reached a huge amount of wealth and are exhausted and unfulfilled and want to get out of their own self-created rat race just at a higher level. Yeah, it's really strange. And again, it comes back to that, I guess, mindset or something around self-beliefs around money. Like, okay, now that I have the money, I have to work harder. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
that's why, interesting. You know, I listen to you as well. I think happiness, obviously money doesn't bring happiness. It's the person and the mind and what else you do.
Yeah, because, you know, I think about this, money can't buy you happiness. You know, we've all heard that expression said, and yeah, I always think, well, it's nicer to cry in a Mercedes than a bicycle, but, you know, but I really feel that, you know, once we decide what happiness is for ourselves and what it means to us to be happy, then money can be a great enabler. It's the great enabler. My mother used to always say that, it's the great enabler.
Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, it allows you to start businesses, fly a family across the world to see you in both of our cases.
Yeah,
you know, Australia.
Or fly to them.
Yeah. It allows you to fuel dreams. It allows you to help organizations. Mm. I mean, I think it is so powerful if you use it the right way.
And that leads me on to another topic that I really want to touch on with you, the billionaire adventure.
Yes.
I mean, how amazing does that sound?
It was.
So first, tell us a little bit about what is the Billionaire Adventure Club and what was the mission behind that?
Well, I was actually the crew director for a guy named Christopher Howard, a really well-known speaker. And what I did for a couple of years is build up his volunteer program, where at all the events around the world, I would bring in the volunteers, train them on the site to run the event. Did that for 2 years, and I got bored because I need to be challenged.
Yeah.
So after a couple of years, I approached Chris and his promoters and his backers, and I said to them, you know, everything I know in marketing and business is if you have a client on board, you always want to give them the next step. Always continue to give them that next step.
That's a good business tip. Business tip number one.
And at that point, he was selling a university of 6 different courses and didn't have anything to be that next step. So I approached him and I said, could we not give a next step that is higher level, higher tuition price, but being that it's that next step, what could we do bigger picture for the world as well?
Oh, I love that. Because, you know, one of the things that I've been talking about a lot recently, I have my 7 steps to energized wealth, and then I've come out with an 8th step. And the 8th step is all about higher purpose wealth and sort of spiritual wealth. And, you know, what can you give back and the contribution back to the world? So that's
exactly what it was. So the concept started out as a group of entrepreneurs or business people that were sort of financially secure at that point, to a point.
Yeah.
And also understood the power of investment, networking, and being around mentors and constantly learning, but also wanting to go into a developing country and actually give back.
Oh, fabulous.
In social entrepreneurialism, which is the whole concept of basically, what's it called? Don't teach a man to fish or something. No,
oh,
don't give the man a fish. How's
it? Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for life.
So that was the underlying mission of the club.
Oh,
so we went to Peru, and we built a school, and we went to Cambodia, and we worked with an organization from a high-level mentoring and networking perspective and brought them in, you know, PR specialists and interns and within our own networks.
That is, I would love to do something like that, you know, to actually feel like you can, I mean, to be financially secure to the point where you can use your time and energy to give back like that.
Oh.
Is an amazing thing. I mean, not to say that you have to be wealthy. Do you have to be wealthy to do something like that?
No.
Or is it more just financial security? So that
enough you money, where what I always said when I started it is I don't want anybody that's going to mortgage their house to come into the club. Yeah. They've got to have a business or the finances to not only invest in the tuition of the club,
yeah,
but also go and travel and be able to spend money in those countries and also spend money and give back to the organizations we chose to help.
Without worrying about what's going on.
Without worrying. And I could tell those that were always stretched when they came on the trip, because they were the ones in the corner. They'd get angry. They'd complain as well about the trip.
Yes.
There'd be a cockroach in Egypt. I mean, God forbid, right? A cockroach in your hotel room. And then they would have this whole thing about, oh, this is horrible. It's dirty. And I knew it was those people that weren't in the space to actually come and, yeah, and play at that higher level.
And you know, it's funny because so many people think about money in such a like an ugly way. And they think, you know, I'm not into money. I'm not into this. I'm not into that. Yeah. Like it's a sort of a spiritual way of being. But actually, having financial pressure, we've all had financial pressure. And I know everybody watching today, everybody's experienced that. And it actually eats away at your soul.
Oh, God.
Financial strain, and it drains you. It drains your energy. And it means that you actually are not fully present in something like that to be able to have the resources to give back.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I definitely feel that as women anyway, that we all need to really step up and embrace money so that we can actually contribute to the world on such an amazing level like that. You know, that for me is just a fabulous thing to be able to do.
And it reminds me actually of some of the powerhouse women that came on these trips. We went to, I think, 8 in total before we moved on from that. But the powerhouse women were the ones that every man wanted to be with.
Oh, yeah.
Every woman wanted to be.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean by that? Yeah. They were so vibrant and so alive and so just attracting resources and people. And you could tell
there many of them?
No.
How many? I mean, on average,
in my head right now, I'm literally thinking of about 3. And I probably worked for, you know, 3 years with, gosh, 300 members.
Mm.
And I'm thinking just off the top of my head, 3 that really stand out as like that vibrant woman.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I think, you know, being, for a woman in particular, to be financially secure does create freedom.
Yes.
And it brings out her energy and her vibrancy and her wish to change and give back and actually do some great things.
Yeah.
And so speaking of women, I mean, on some of these projects, you're in places like Peru. Where, what other areas?
Mongolia, Cambodia, Egypt, South Africa.
And what about, you would have, in some of the projects, did you meet some women and girls from those areas?
Oh, you know, one of the most amazing things ever was going to Richard Branson's School of Entrepreneurship
in
Joburg.
Wow, that's one of the experiences.
We ran an event for students at the school. That it was actually a breakthrough to success, one of Christopher Howard's weekend events. And we ran a 2-day event, we brought in catering, and the members were the mentors. And there were tears, they had the choir that came in and sang for all of us.
Oh, wow.
And to sit down with some of these girls that were raped, whose parents died from HIV, and to give them hope, like we did through our words and through just our connections, and I will never forget.
Like, you guys also taught them, because I did read a bit about that particular event, and you guys taught them. It was a mentorship program, wasn't it? It wasn't just going and inspiring them or being there for them. It was actually, you taught them some seriously good life skills and business skills.
Yeah, we did. And we actually exchanged details with some of the students that wanted to. We stayed in touch with them on email.
Yeah.
They just email not only myself, but some of the members, and just ask for advice.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So you can keep that going. That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, Heather, with all of those amazing events that you went on, those experiences with the Billionaire Adventure Club, what would you say would be like the key takeout in business, in life, and in wealth for you from all of that experience?
Business first was to choose your business partners and the people you want to work with after you've experienced them in pressure situations.
Oh, yes.
And the reason why, like, if you can imagine that being in Egypt in the heat with cockroaches in your hotel room, or there are moments when we had full-on mental breakdowns in the middle of the trips.
Yeah, you would. I mean, as you say, it's a pressurized environment. Nobody would pick me as a business partner after that.
You'd be surprised. But in those environments, you either come out as a shining star, a leader, an example, or you are the person that no one wants to be around. I chose my own business partner because... Well, we didn't really work on the Billionaire Adventure Club together, but we worked in the same environment on the road with the other events. And we had you know, 2 hours of sleep a lot of nights for 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. And in that moment, we realized that we've been through the hardest, most pressurized environments together, and we work well, and that's, you know, that's...
And that makes it work, yeah.
Exactly. Life would be, the lessons in life would be, I mean, we all, this is a bit cliche, but every single human being on the planet just wants love.
I know. I mean... Yeah, isn't that, that is just... You know, we just one of my favorite movies is Love Actually. And I was just always, you know, the beginning of Love Actually, and they say, he says, you know, love actually is all around us, and you see it everywhere, because that's what people want, is a universal language.
Oh, I mean, in orphanages in Mongolia, we were watching these babies that were completely dropped off on the side of the street, you know, and when you touch them, they light up as a baby. We all...
The touch, human touch.
Just want love. You know, we all are in our Western society with iPads and devices and clothing and brands and stuff. When you go to a country that does not have all that, you strip all that away and we are just all the same.
Yes, it makes us realize that if we do strip away all the digital stuff and all the stuff that keeps us busy all day, all of us, actually a hug. People just want a hug.
Hug and smile.
A hug and
pretty
smile.
Pretty basic.
Yeah. So speaking of love.
Sure.
So how is life and what does the future hold now for Heather Porter?
Oh, that's a good question. So my business now has been around for, almost four years, 3.5 years. And in the first 3 years of growing a business, you have loads of growing pains. So we've completely changed our staff. We're in a huge simplification process. And I think you get to that point once you go through those couple of years of trying to work out what you're actually going to sell.
The simplification thing, I think a lot of women as well really need that, because we tend to overwhelm ourselves.
Yeah.
We try to do everything. We don't systematize anything. And it becomes really stressful.
And we're focused on collecting shoulds as well. I should do this if I have that, or wait till I'm perfect over here. And
Before I launch anything.
Yes. Yeah. Most people have that. The thing is that, you know, we're never going to launch because we're never going to be perfect. So the whole thing with us right now, I mean, we've always just grown crazy because we're just do this.
Yeah.
But now we're in a really exciting phase where we're actually tightening our brand. We have an amazing team around us. Like, I had an interview today with this unbelievable potential head of operations. To even sit here and talk to you and say, we've gone from a team of 30 in the Philippines to now hiring a head of ops in America.
Yeah.
Is a pivotal point where I'm very excited about my future and the business. And, you know, we have loads of new info products that we're launching as well. So,
Speaking of that, do you think, I mean, the internet, you know, everybody's trying to do business on the internet today, and there's products for everything.
Yeah.
Is it saturated yet?
Yes, but no, at the same time.
Okay.
Yes for information, but no for quality information. Here's the thing. I think that so many people are just putting stuff out there because they've been told to create content or
videos everywhere of everything.
What is lacking right now, what's very exciting for all of us as business owners, is the fact that the lacking thing is people that know how to be the guide or give a direction on how to absorb content.
Right,
okay. So we can all create content, but what we're lacking at is telling people what to watch and when and how it all clicks together to actually get a result.
To get a result, that's exactly right, because so many people are information overload.
Information
overload. Because there is no shortage of information out there. This is the thing, you know, but people still need guidance and steps and to be... not just held accountable, more their hands held a bit through the process of learning.
We're in information era right now, so we consume and buy information. So we're looking for the best information, but also the best guide through the information. And we also, more than ever, are aligning ourselves with culture. And I mean that, for example, with Steve Jobs, you know, how he sold a design, a dream, a culture that is Apple.
Yes.
Rather than a product.
That lives on after him as well.
Lives on after him. So businesses that are mastering the internet right now are those that have a culture. The products are secondary, and the products are sold because people want more of the culture.
They want more of the culture and how it makes them feel.
Exactly.
Yeah, how it makes them feel. So a business, if they want to stay ahead of the game today on the internet, they have to put heart and soul into it.
You've got to be vulnerable,
you've
got to be yourself, you've got to be quirky, funny, whatever you are as a person, as the director of your life or company or brand, you've got to be you. And I think the thing is, being in the speaking industry for so long, I cannot tell you, if I'd be rich if I counted all these people that came up to me and said, how does Tony just do that thing? Or Chris
Collier. Oh, yeah, it's just
and
him.
It's, they all want to copy what's been done before. And the second you copy somebody else, you look inauthentic and people can't put their finger on why they don't quite like you.
Yeah.
So the internet is a place to just be you. People do business with people, not businesses online. They want to see the individuality.
They want to see the personality behind it. And actually, I love that because it's a good place to actually end our session, because feminine wealth, for me, I was thinking about what is the definition of this, and it really is about passion. It's about bringing dreams to life. It's about having a greater purpose, a higher purpose for money and for wealth. And, you know, really, that's what the essence of such doing business on the internet is, actually a spiritual thing. It's authenticity.
We are leaving an online footprint, whether we like it or not.
Yes.
Forever online. Everything that we do, even if you are setting privacy settings in Facebook, everything that you do can be picked up and taken and used elsewhere.
Yes.
So all that means is that now more than ever, be yourself. And don't be scared about what you're talking about online. Like, just be transparent across your entire life, because you will be figured out the more successful you get. More of your skeletons, your closets will
they will come out. Yeah, exactly. So just make sure that you have a nice chew on that footprint.
Absolutely. Love it.
So, Heather, I feel the key takeouts from today's chat would be for our viewers, would be, you know, and chime in with any that you think we should add in here. But key takeaways for me really today, the biggest one was when you started off, you said you had this job in IT. I mean, you're not an IT girl, you're an events girl. You have this job in IT and you use that money to fuel your dream that then caused a whole domino effect of amazing things happening, and you ended up on this, you know, rock star career for 10 years. So make sure that your money is being fueled towards your dreams.
Yes.
The other takeout, I think, for our viewers today would be, you know, wealth and money, you can... really, there's power in that, and if you use it for the greater good, there's so many things you can do with money that to reach real fulfillment and contribution. And then, of course, finally, doing business on the internet, it's getting very real. It's real. Just be you, be authentic, be yourself. So look, Heather, if people want to find out a bit more about you and about your business and what you're doing, where can they find out about you?
I'll throw out two websites really quickly.
Okay.
So if you want to know about me as just who I am, my own blog, it is my name, heatherporter.com. And if you want to know more about my digital agency, it's autopilotyourbusiness.com.
Excellent. Listen, Heather, it's been a real pleasure. I'm so excited that you were my first person on Feminine Wealth TV to celebrate today. And for everyone watching, be sure to tune in next week, where I'm going to be talking about self-worth and net worth with the amazing Debbie Spellman. See you then.